More than 1 in 5 Americans are caregivers, people who support a family member through an illness, disability, or aging. Caregivers juggle work and family and coordinate medical care for a loved one, and that was before the start of the pandemic. Side Effects Public Media's Lauren Bavis reports on how caregivers have adjusted over the past few months.
Christina Ortiz and Tim Himes aren't brother and sister by blood, but they might as well be. They've never known life apart.
She got me when I was about 6 months old, and she actually brought Timmy home from the hospital.
Ortiz is talking about her and Himes' adopted mother, Monica. Mama Monica, as her many foster children called her, was more than a mom. She was Himes' full-time caregiver. Himes was born with cerebral palsy. He uses a power wheelchair to get around, which Ortiz says gives him independence. But he still needs 24/7 care. So when Monica died in early 2019, Ortiz worried about what would happen to her little brother.
Timmy just couldn't go to a nursing home. It probably would have, in my opinion, hurt him more than helped him.
Ortiz became one of the hundreds of thousands of family caregivers in Indiana. She's responsible for all of Himes' care, from bathing and dressing him to managing his medications and doctor's appointments. The family got into a routine. Then in March, everything changed.
When this COVID-19 thing happened, everything slowed down drastically.
That's happened for other families too. Kelly Fisher is a mental health counselor and lecturer at Ball State University. She's also a caregiver. Her 19-year-old son Noah is blind, has autism, and is developmentally delayed, among other physical disabilities.
From the caregiver standpoint, you notice the supports that you did rely on are not available.
Caregivers like Fisher and Ortiz have had to adapt during the COVID-19 pandemic. Ortiz used to take her brother bowling, but non-essential businesses closed to limit the spread of the virus. Noah's school moved to online instruction, so Fisher was responsible for his care during the day while she worked from home. Many in-person therapy programs also stopped.
He was out for 4 months of any type of therapy, and that was pretty rough.
That's Emily Ransom. Her 5-year-old son, Cash, has a severe form of autism. He spent years in applied behavioral analysis, a form of therapy that helps people with autism build skills and manage challenging behaviors. Without in-person therapy, Ransom started to see Cash lose some of those skills, like matching colors and shapes.
All that work that he put in and we put in, and it was just like going away because of the whole pandemic, and there was nothing that we could do.
On top of everything else, Ransom is also pregnant. When Cash has challenging or self-destructive behaviors, she has to keep him from injuring himself or attacking her.
I'm involved in like a bunch of support groups on social media and everything, but it's hard. Like, yeah, you can explain autism, but trying to explain the behavior part of it is kind of hard because you get judged.
Fisher, the mental health counselor, says caregivers also judge themselves. They report high rates of burnout even before the pandemic. Fisher says signs of burnout include feeling like every day is going to be a bad day.
Or they feel like the tasks that they're doing are either overwhelming or underappreciated, or just not making a difference.
Fisher says caregivers also have to accept help. After Ortiz took over her brother's care, she got help from Caregiver Homes, a program that supports family caregivers in their homes. Ortiz says the program helped get Himes' power wheelchair. They also referred her to a company to make their home more accessible.
They do home visits and everything. Of course, that stopped when COVID-19 happened. We have this really cool app, and we're able to send videos and pictures and kind of stay connected in that way, too.
Fisher says self-care is important, too. For Ransom, that's schoolwork. She's also a full-time grad student. And some things for her family are getting back to normal. Cash is back in in-person therapy, working to rebuild old skills and adding new ones, like wearing a face mask. For Ortiz, self-care is trying new things. She's learned how to bake cookies, and she sends Caregiver Homes photos of the family's favorite activity while stuck at home, karaoke. At this point, Ortiz says she probably knows every Disney song. Lauren Bavis, Side Effects Public Media.
This story is part of the Move to Include initiative funded by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. It focuses on people with disabilities and the issues they face.